Have it laid on my heart, beloved, this afternoon to read a portion of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and speak. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones that he see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Let me hear and me. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as the heaven, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now it isn't one thought this afternoon to take up this passage, this precious portion, verse by verse, but what one has specially laid on their heart, we trust, by the Spirit of God, is himself. Oh, beloved, what a theme for our soul, himself. But before we meditate a little on this portion, perhaps it might be well to mention the setting of it, where it's found. The precious verses that we have read mark, as it were, the closing moment of the pathway of the blessed Son of Man down here in this world, ere he was taken up, as we read, the man Christ Jesus in his pathway down here. And all of you who are younger, may we say this, where we began to read, the Lord Jesus had been raised from the dead. But in the previous chapter, we read of what man did to him, how he was taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. Or we read of those terrible hours of darkness on that cross. We read, too, of those two thieves who were crucified with him. The one who went into eternity with these words on his lips, if thou be the Son of God. What a terrible end. But the other one, thank God, and I trust, if there are those in our company this afternoon who are still strangers to this blessed one, it might be your portion, dear one, to be as a dying thief, the repentant thief is sometimes spoken of. Oh, he said, what did he say? Lord, remember me. Oh, yes. He wasn't thinking about others at that point. He was thinking of himself. And thank God that prayer was answered, not as he expressed it, because the blessed Savior had something better for him. If he had waited until his prayer had been answered, he'd be still waiting. But, oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, is that your hope? Is that hope before you? Have you taken that blessed one, the one who is portrayed in these chapters before where we read, as dying for sin? Have you put your trust in him? Dear one, have you done that? Boys and girls, have you done that? Oh, I trust you have. If not, why not now? That blessed one who loved you even from death, that one who shed his precious blood that you might have those sins forgiven. Well, there are many, I realize, in our company who have put their trust in him, and it's particularly to those that we address ourselves this afternoon. As we were saying, what we have particularly before soul this afternoon is himself. Perhaps you've noticed several times how that precious word is brought before us in these verses, himself. Now this was a time, evidently, of considerable perplexity. They didn't understand, many of them, what had transpired. There were some running here, some going there. They were perplexed, confused. Isn't that a picture of this scene today? Oh, beloved, what perplexity there is around us. And I wonder why. Well, do we not get something of an indication of it in this verse, this 15th verse? They commune together and reason. Here were two disciples who had left or were leaving the center where God had placed his name, Jerusalem, and they were going off towards the nation. Oh, they were sad, and is it any wonder? They were reasoning, communing together. Well, isn't there a lesson in that for us, beloved? Oh, what kind of communication do we have? What kind of an image, to use a phrase that is so much used in the world today, what kind of an image of that Blessed One do we present to those about us? Do we go about as these were, with these sad communications, talking about this, that, the other? Oh, how sad it was. But you know, the Blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, knew those hearts. And he knows your heart and mine too. Oh, how wonderful. And so to those who were going off, as it were, from the divine center of that day, he would join himself. It says, Jesus himself. Isn't that lovely? Jesus himself. He didn't send someone else. He came himself and went with them. Now this, I think it is not, so to speak, supporting them in their journey away. But what was it for? Oh, as we went farther down, it was to bring them back. It was to win their hearts. It was to touch their hearts and conscience. And how faithfully he did it. And yet how tenderly he did it. Oh, how that Blessed One loves to go to those who are perplexed, stand, and cry, and pour in those things concerning himself, that he might win their hearts back to himself. Well, dear ones, should there be any in our company who have, as it were, turned their back on that blessed center, on that Blessed One? Oh, he longs to speak to you this afternoon. Will you hear his voice? We trust we may, as we meditate a little on this. Well, how, as we say, we're saying, how tenderly he approached them. But their eyes were hold of that they didn't know him. I don't know that I'm right in this, but one has enjoyed it a little this way. They were reasoning instead of going on in faith, and so their eyes were holding. Oh, how sad. But how tenderly and lovingly, graciously and yet faithfully, he brings to their attention that which would win their hearts back to himself. He made as though he was a stranger, and they pour out their hearts to himself. Oh, dear one, have you done that? Has there been time in your history, mine, when our hearts have become cold? Have you poured out your heart to him? Oh, how they told out. He drew it out, as it were. How lovingly he drew out from their hearts just their very need. And then, after they had told him all, and, oh, beloved, let us not withhold all from himself. Should failure have come into our lives, let us not hold back. Let us open our hearts to itself in his blessed presence and know what it is to have it all out with him. And oh, what a blessing there is, as there was for these dear ones. And so, after that, where they had told out what was in their hearts to him, then how faithfully and yet how tenderly he brings before him what? Notice the 25th verse. It was then, after these communications, it was then he said unto them, O fools, or senseless ones, and slow hearts to believe. Isn't that a picture of you and me? I feel it is. One can only speak for themselves, but this one feels is just a picture of one's own heart. How slow to believe all that the prophets have written, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh yes, suffering time is now, but with glory to follow. And then, what does he do? Beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he had bounded unto them in all the scriptures. What? The thing concerning himself, of himself. I don't know what scriptures he refers to. We're not told. But could we not think of many? Because it was in the Old Testament, the scriptures they had there, then, and then we notice in the 44th verse we had something else. We have the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. In other words, the whole written word of God at that time. And, beloved, can we not learn this lesson at least? The importance the blessed risen Christ places upon the written word of God. Oh, may we place equal importance upon it. May I ask you, dear ones, today, did you read a portion of it this morning? Did you? Is it your practice, dear ones, to read, to hear him speak to you from his word every day? I think of those who have set up or are contemplating setting up a home. Oh, may we counsel you, beloved friends, not to neglect the reading of this precious word of God. Make it your daily, I was going to say habit, but I think you know what I mean, your daily practice. Oh, may you turn to it for wisdom, guidance, strength, comfort for each day. I think of a family many miles from here. It was my privilege to know them when there were two little ones, one in the high chair and the other in the carriage. And the father had to go to work some miles away from where he lived, and he had to be there early. He had to leave home by 6 o'clock in the morning. But it was my privilege to sit around that table, beloved, so that he could be away by 6 o'clock in the morning and have a portion of the Word of God. And it's my joy to tell you that that same family, those children, are all at the Lord's table today. Oh, yes. May we not neglect the precious Word of God. Surely we can learn this lesson. What importance the blessed Lord placed upon us. How he could say, it is written. It's no use for us to try to meet the wiles of the enemy with our own arguments. But if, beloved, we are fortified with the precious Word of God, we can leave it, give it, and leave it there. God will honor his Word. He will bless it. Oh, may we then read it. Much of it we do not understand at the moment, but we do feel the Spirit of God will bring it back at a time when we need it, but we need to read it in order to have it. And so, not just one portion. I must confess there are portions that one enjoys more than others. But let us not neglect the whole of the Word of God. Because here would we not learn the blessed Savior, there the risen Christ, on that road to Emmaus, opened to them the Scriptures. And what? It was the same concerning himself. And so if we find that blessed one, those things that speak of him in all of the Scriptures, what a joy to our souls. Oh, I'm sure he would refer to the ark, you know, the place of safety there in the first book of the Bible. And then I'm sure he would refer perhaps to that little lamb that was slain there when the children of Israel were going to leave Egypt, a picture of himself. And then the crossing of the Red Sea, and then later on those sacrifices in Leviticus, all speak of himself. Oh, I don't know how many of them he spoke of, but you know, dear ones, boys and girls, that was quite a long journey. It tells us how long it was, and approximately, I understand, around 7 miles. 7 miles in company with the blessed risen Christ, opening to them the Scriptures. Oh, is it any wonder then we read, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us by the way and while they opened to us the Scriptures? Beloved, one feels for themselves that is what we have been having. Have not our hearts burned within us? He passed today while he has been opening to us the Scriptures. Oh, how wonderful, how blessed, what a portion is ours. May we value it, and may we profit by it. But it was those things that stirred in them. Oh, let us not just read the Word for knowledge, while knowledge is not to be despised. But let us read it with the view of himself before us. And I'm sure it will be for profit to each of our souls. Well, what happened? He read to them, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, they come to the end of the journey. Here they are at the village where they were going. And he made as though he would have gone further. One enjoys it this way. The blessed Lord will not force himself upon us. But oh, he loves to be invited. And he responds to it, beloved, as he did here. It says, they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would come further. But they constrained him, saying, notice the language, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. But what did he do? It says he went in to tarry with them. And often wonders why. Why the difference? They said, abide with us. He went in to tarry with them. Well, there may be other reasons, but one has thought of it this way. Here they were, on a course away from the God center. He would go with them until he had so warmed their hearts, so touched their hearts and conscience. What happened? He tarried with them until he makes himself known to them. Himself. Oh, he revealed himself to them there that night. He wouldn't tarry, he wouldn't abide with them. He would tarry until he had revealed himself. But oh, where would he have them? Just what happened? When they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And what happened? They about faith and go back to Jerusalem. We don't read that he told them to. But oh, when he himself was revealed, this is what happened. And dear friends, this afternoon, should there be any in our company who have taken a course away from that blessed one? Oh, may the result of these meetings, having him speak to our hearts, may our hearts burn too, and may we return to his blessed center, because as Jerusalem was the center of that day, there is a center where this blessed one has placed his name today. Oh, may you find it if you haven't already, if you're not already there. How precious it is to be found around himself in the midst, where he is promised. Oh, beloved, are you there? Is that your happy portion? Be around himself to remember him according to his dying request? And if not, dear one, why not? What is hidden? Oh, me, the voice that we have heard in hearing these days, may it so warm your heart and touch the conscience if necessary, so that you might find the joy of being around himself, just as we read here. But we notice here in this 32nd verse, in keeping with the thought of himself, it says, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us? Oh, do we hear him talk to us? How can we hear that from his precious word? While he opened to us the scripture. Oh, may he open to us the scripture, so that should there be anything hindering that communion with himself, or that path that is pleasing to him, may it be judged in his presence. And may it be your joy to know what it is to be around himself, where he is in the midst. So they went back to Jerusalem. It would seem as if there wasn't much of importance at Emmaus. I don't know why they were going there, we're not told. But evidently it wasn't as important business as it was to be found where he
would reveal himself, where he was in the midst. And so they go back, and they find the 11 gathered together, and telling them that the Lord had appeared to Simon. Oh, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? You know, he said to, at least the angel said to those women, go tell my disciples and Peter where they would find him. But here, he has already appeared to Peter. Oh, how precious that is. The one who had so miserably denied that he knew how, what David. But oh, beloved, that look of the blessed Savior so broke Peter's heart that he went out and wept bitterly. But the Lord didn't even leave him at that. We know not what transpired there when he had appeared to Simon. Simon. But how faithfully and how thoroughly Simon was restored. We know that he was restored to the Lord first, and then before his death and later on. But how nice it is to know that he has appeared to Simon. But that's not all. Here, and as they thus speak in the 36th verse, again we have that lovely word, Jesus himself. Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, peace. Oh, dear boys and girls, you have peace with God. Well, it may be yours by trusting in the blessed Savior. But then this peace, this is something a little different, perhaps. Oh, how peace of heart, just to be where he is. And so he could say, peace unto you. And then they were terrified and frightened. Oh, how sad, unbelieving heart. They hadn't entered into, they hadn't understood all that he had told them the many times. This blessed one, now the risen one, had told them about what was going to take place. And so to assure them, and how lovingly, how tenderly he does it, he showed unto them, he says, behold my hands and my feet. Surely, beloved, the proof of his love. Those hands are many sins of tears. Is now our God guide. Oh, how lovely. And so, they see him, Jesus himself. Well, it seems as though that it's there, where he is in the midst, there is power and blessing. Because it's after so tenderly showing to them that it was this same Jesus. Oh, isn't that lovely, beloved? Do we want to know that blessed one that we're going to spend eternity with? I don't mean this moment knowing him as our precious Savior, but I mean to know him, to know him, to be acquainted with him. How do we get it? Oh, surely, isn't it lovely that it's this same Jesus? And so he shows that he's not a spirit, proving it to them by taking meat before them. And then he opens their understanding that they might understand this. But again, we say, what an importance the blessed risen Christ places on the written word. Thus it is written. Beloved, may we learn the lesson this afternoon in the presence of God. May we be ever mindful and bow to thus it is written. All the arguments, all the reasoning of man, and never take the place of thus it is written. Oh, how thankful we should be that we do have in our hands, boys and girls, do we realize that we have in our hands the written word of God, a letter from God, as it were, himself, for our help and guidance, for our direction. Oh, how faithfully he has maintained, preserved this precious volume. May we value it. May we walk in the light of it. May we go to it for wisdom for our path, no matter how young or how old. Oh, may we value, beloved, the written word, because it speaks to us. It presents to us himself, that blessed one, the one whom we've been meditating upon as the living word. Oh, it presents him to our souls. May we sign it. May it be ours to be found in obedience to it, and there be blessings for our souls. Well, he opens to them the scriptures. It was where he was in the midst, it would seem, that that can be so beautifully brought up. Well, beloved, is it all to be found regularly? Dear young people, we appeal to you, especially this afternoon. Is it your privilege? Is it your deed where the precious written word is opened and meditated upon regularly? Not only to read it yourself in the home, privately, but we do believe that there's power, there's blessing from the written word where he is in the midst. Jesus himself in the midst. Well, just in closing, isn't it lovely to realize that it was a rather long passage, but where did we stop? Oh, we trust, something of himself, the blessed risen Christ, the one who is victorious over death and the grave, the one who is now seated with the dead at the Father's right hand. But here in the closing moments of his pathway, oh, how lovely the trace, the tender grace, the loving kindness, the faithfulness of this blessed one. And then to see him parted from with his hands uplifted in blessing, and beloved, he still there, on high in the glory, this very moment. We believe in that same attitude of blessing for those who will hear his word, for those who will listen to the precious word of God. Oh, may it be ours then, beloved, to do profit by not so much what has been said, but just by contemplation of himself. So many times brought before us in this precious portion, these closing moments of the pathway of the precious man Christ Jesus. There is the risen one, and now the glorified one at God's right hand, and the soon coming one.
Our attention has been focused so forcibly lately on Jerusalem, has it not? And would it not speak to our hearts of the soon coming of that this same blessed one whom we view in the closing verses of this chapter, of being received up into glory? He was parted from us, and it says they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Oh, may then it be ours to be bound in contemplation of this precious, blessed one, and we can assure you that ours too will be a time of great joy. Oh, may it be so. And again we say to those, if there should be any in our company who are still strangers to this blessed one, oh, may you come just as you are this afternoon and receive him. Then you too will be ready and be just watching and waiting for this same blessed one who was taken up into heaven, because in the first of the Acts we read this same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Oh, what a prospect! But in the meantime, oh beloved Seth, dear young friend, may it be ours to be found meditating, reading, meditating, making our own these precious things concerning himself found in the written word.